This is our Sunday morning Bible class. We're going to be beginning a series today. I'll get into that in a moment. I'm very glad that you're here. If you're visiting, we're happy you're here. Hopefully that what we're talking about today will stir your thinking. And if you have some questions, get with the person that invited you. If you just showed up, I'm very happy for that. Come see me. We'll talk about what we're discussing in the class. We'd love to meet you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to be here to take a look at your word. Father, to examine our lives before your word. Father, we're so grateful of the impact that you've had on our lives, how you've saved us, rescued us from this world. Father, we pray that you would help us have a deeper understanding of your word. Yes. We pray that you would help us in our hearts to understand the difference between what the word is and what the world says. Father, today, as we look at that, I pray that you would bless us in that understanding. We pray in your son's name. Amen. Amen. So, we're trying to do in this series, we're calling it the Shepherding Series, is we're going to take approximately 13 weeks, of course I just logged out, here we go, and in the Shepherding Series what we want to do is have some candid talks with the congregation. Some candid talks about a variety of subjects, and it will be relevant if you're visiting to you as well. Because what we're going to be doing in the Shepherding Series is look at what is worldly versus what is spiritual. What we want to do is draw a clear contrast between what is worldly and what is spiritual. And that may sound like something easy to do, but I think what you'll see in this series is that the world is sneaking in to our thinking. We want to have this series because we want to draw a clear distinction between what is called worldly wisdom and the wisdom of God's Word. We want to explain how we as shepherds have been seeing the influences on disciples' lives and on how we live. And that is Steve Collier, Alan Rouse, and myself. We want to show how the world is affecting disciples' thinking. Worldly influences are destroying the lives of some that we love and putting others at risk for their very souls. We also want to draw out hidden objections that some of us have about God's Word. The fact is that sometimes we read something in God's Word and we struggle with it. Based upon our experiences or whatever, it's just hard. But we don't tell anyone what we're struggling with. And we don't share that struggle with someone and get it resolved. And what we hope in this series is that we can draw some of that out and just move on. Not to have, because if you have a hidden objection or misunderstanding, what happens? You don't obey the Word of God. You, in effect, start ignoring it. And finally, another result of this series that we hope is that you'll have a change of thinking. Somewhere, on some subject, a change of thinking about what we're talking about, and that would be repentance. So what's the plan? What we're going to do is we're going to have the class on Sunday morning, and then on Thursday night when we have our midweek, what we're going to do is have a discussion time. We'll review the lesson, and then we're going to open it up for discussion. If someone has a question about what we're talking about, or something is not clear, wants additional explanation of what God's Word is teaching will do that. You see, typically what's happened is we have this one way, and it's not a discussion because of just the way the class is. It's large, it's difficult to have interaction. But what we're going to do is try in this family setting on Thursday night to open it up. So I need you to come prepared to have a dialogue, to have a discussion, to ask questions. And just be open. No one's going to get slammed for not understanding something or possibly even disagreeing with something. Because the Lord's servant must not quarrel. We're not going to do that. We're just going to take a look at God's Word. If you have a doubt, you see the Word of God differently, we want to talk about it. And we have not done something like this before. So be praying about it, that it will add to our growth spiritually. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about marriage. And what do I mean by that? It's not going to be a marriage workshop. We're actually going to be talking about contrasting what the world says about how you have a successful marriage and what the Bible says. Because there are definite roles that we have in marriage. And we're going to go into a variety of ways of this. And I'm leaving that open to Steve and to Alan to explore that topic with leeway for what they're seeing as shepherds themselves. So then we're going to be looking at purity and what that means within the congregation as far as God's Word and what the world is talking about purity. We'll take a look at romantic relationships as a part of this. It's not going to necessarily be a standalone lesson. We're just talking broad themes here, okay? So we'll be looking at sin and materialism, parenting, serving, seeking the kingdom first, church leadership, because I think sometimes we're confused about how leadership is selected, what their role is, versus what the world says it does. We'll take a look at some false doctrines and discuss some poor understandings that we see the congregation having. And when I say that, I'm speaking very generally. These are just things that we've seen over time that individuals are just not clear on or certain of. And for us to live the life of a disciple, we must be certain. Amen. We must be clear on certain things. We'll talk about who is a Christian, who is saved, and the role of men and women. So that's what we're going to be doing in the weeks ahead. And then having the discussions on Thursday night. And of course, if Richard would like to speak on any of these things during that time frame, he probably will as well. So, let's take a look at some definitions. What is worldly? Being worldly is being concerned with material values or ordinary life rather than a spiritual existence. I pulled this right out of the dictionary. Okay? Worldly is being devoted to the temporal world. I think I'll have to look up temporal. Worldly is being devoted to this world and its pursuits rather than to religion or spiritual affairs. Spiritual. Of, relating to, consisting of, or affecting the spirit. This came out of the dictionary. Concerned with religious values. Now, you notice something here? When I go to the dictionary to get what is worldly, a worldly dictionary has no trouble giving a definition of it. But when you look at what spiritual is, I mean, those are weird definitions, isn't it? Is it clear to you what spiritual is when you look up the definition in the dictionary? That doesn't clear anything up for me. Shouldn't be surprising since the world understands what worldly is, but not what spiritual is. So here's a definition. Being spiritual is thinking and acting in accordance with the will of God. Let's keep it simple. If you're spiritually minded, you literally have the mind of Christ. You think in accordance to the will of God. It's very simple, isn't it? But it's very hard to do. Being spiritual is thinking and acting in accordance with the will of God. Those who are spiritual know how to think and act by learning and obeying the Word of God. Isn't it evident that what is worldly will be in conflict with what is spiritual? Just looking at this. There is a natural conflict that happens between what is worldly and spiritual. You see, on the one hand, we live in the world. That is a reality. We have to eat. We need clothing. We need shelter to survive. We need those things. We need to reproduce as a species to continue. There are some basic needs. And that's a part of the world, is it not? We live in the world. That is a necessity. But once our basic needs of survival are taken care of, what then? What then? That's when we have to start asking ourselves, why are we here? Is it to eat and be clothed and to have shelter and reproduce? That's it? You see, these are questions that have been around for a long time, and that's not really what my purpose is to get into here. Rather, is to show you that what is worldly, we can get caught up into that because they're real needs on one hand. Does that make sense? But our purpose isn't just to survive. You see, what I'm trying to do is contrast what is worldly and what is spiritual. And it's not changing. There it is. So, let's take a look at what is worldly. What does the world teach us that our purpose is? What does the world teach us that we should value and pursue? Remember the definition, concerned with material values or ordinary life. Well, we're having a delay, I'm sorry. All right, so on the worldly side, you have materialism. So once you have gotten your clothing, once you've gotten your food, once you've gotten your shelter, it's more. It's better. More of the same. Is it not? Isn't that what you see on HGTV? Got to redecorate. Got to remodel. Got to make it look better. Got to be more comfortable. In fact, we need leisure. We need vacation. Is any of this bad so far? Is it bad? No, not necessarily. We want prestige. We seek fame. We value position. We try to judge. Where am I in accordance with someone else? Right? Are I higher or am I lower? Am I richer or am I poorer? Do I have more or do I have less? That's what I'm talking about. We seek pleasure, sensuality. And sensuality obviously can be sex, but it can be more than that. It can just mean anything that is sensual, that is pleasing to our senses. We seek happiness. And we seek knowledge. We want to know. But it is a worldly knowledge to help us with these other things. It is a knowledge. Let's call it something else, street smarts. I want stuff. I want to figure this out. I can accumulate. I have knowledge and education to be able to even do it better. Does this make sense?
Yep.
So on the spiritual side of things, and I hope it will, there we go. We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, wisdom, and purity. So as you look at this, these values come straight from the Scriptures, Galatians 2:22. You can also find wisdom in Proverbs chapters 1 through 4, and those are certainly not the only places that you can find that these are our spiritual values. Now let's contrast them. What is different, obviously? What is the difference between the left side and the right side? On the left side, you can see, taste, and touch it. It's survival mode plus. It has nothing to do with the heart. It has little to do with the mind other than a frame of thinking. Are you following what I'm saying? But on the right side, they are values. They are pursuits that change how we interact with other people. It changes literally how we live in relationship with other people. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. By the way, self-control is not really a worldly value. Think about it. Wisdom and purity. Now, there is a worldly wisdom and there is a godly wisdom, and we'll talk about that. But again, I'm trying to contrast being worldly and being spiritual. You see, we live in a world, but we are not to be of the world. The Scriptures say that we are to live here as strangers. We are not from this place. You know, well, wait a minute, I was born into this place. Yes, but when you became a disciple, you changed your citizenship. Does that make sense? You are no longer of the world. We are supposed to be ambassadors of Christ. We are to make clear what God's will is to our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our co-workers. We are to be a light on the hill. We are the salt of the earth. We shine like stars in the universe. And there are many scriptures that confirm what I'm saying. But many of us have become ambassadors of the world to others. What am I talking about? We share thoughts and attitudes and ideas and do actions that are actually at odds with God's Word. This waters down the Word of God. It robs it of its power and clarity because we're not living what we talk about, what God's will is. In doing this, we become hypocrites. Now, no one actually says to themselves, today I shall be a hypocrite. No one thinks that way. It happens when we make choices that are based on our personal desires. We become hypocrites when we can acknowledge on the one hand what God says on the subject, and then we choose to do something else. It's insidious. But how does that happen? We become hypocrites when we give little thought to where our ideas and desires have originated from. In so many cases, we have drawn on our own cultural influences. Many of us are from different places around this world, and we grew up, and each culture has a different value system. Each culture thinks differently about something. And we draw upon that. We don't even realize how it's baked into our DNA from growing up. So we have our parenting, from our parents and our upbringing. We have our education. We have our politics. We have the media. We have friends' opinions. All those things are imprinted on us. And they continue to be imprinted on us, and it impacts how we choose. Then what happens is we take that stuff and then we mix it with some of God's Word and we come up with something that's different. And it really isn't how God wants us to live. Be honest. Look at these two things. Where do you live most of the time? Where are you putting most of your thinking and acting into as choices? You see, you need to look at this list and compare where you're at. The simple fact is that all of us have an element of hypocrite in us. I'm not immune. No one's immune. Because we have these imprints on us. And we have to fight that. How do you fight that is with knowledge of God's Word and choosing to overcome these sinful desires. Amen. So let me share with you some of the things that we've been seeing that's worldliness in the church. We do not discipline our children as the Bible tells us to. And we'll talk about this, but we just hear Oprah or we hear somebody else say how to do it, and that Bible stuff just seems too harsh, too difficult, it's wrong, it's old. This is the new thinking. And we just don't obey the Word of God. We don't conduct our relationships as the Bible commands us to. Either as singles or as marrieds, as parents, or as brothers and sisters as Christ. These are relationship issues and these are role issues, and we just don't do them as the Word of God says we are to do them. We do not resolve conflicts as the Bible commands us to. We let something embitter our souls. We don't get rid of it. We hold on to something, and we say we're fine. We're not fine. We do not serve one another as the Bible commands. We're just not servants the way we should. Now, I'm speaking generally. The idea here is not to convict every heart of everything. I'm just saying what we've generally seen in situations, speaking to the entire congregation. Literally, if the shoe fits. We do not give to God or to others as we should. We make decisions based on our feelings. This is a huge one. We don't feel like doing something, we don't do it. We desire something, we do it, even though we know it's not good for us. We lack self-control in the eating, purity, and spending money. That's sensuality. We do not believe that God will do what He says He will do. What does God say? In Titus 2, verses 11 to 12, he says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are eager, that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. The Word of God teaches us to say no. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In Ephesians 6:12, he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." There is a stark contrast, is there not? Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. These scriptures are terrifying because it makes such a clear contrast. If you love the world, you're an enemy of God. If you are a friend of the world, you're showing hatred to God. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. James 3:13-17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God draws very clear lines. There is a conflict. There is a war for our minds and in our souls. We must pay careful attention to the salvation that we have received. The problem is that this wisdom of the world is impressed upon us daily. You know, as an experiment to myself in preparing for this lesson, I wanted to see and think about how many messages do I receive on a daily basis from the world. So, I clicked on CNN.com. And I just wanted to see what's out there that if you just peruse the internet, you want to get your daily news or whatever, what are some of the subjects that come up? One day, this took me 10 minutes, okay? I went online and I saw pot makes us better parents. Pierce Morgan, was interviewing three women called pot moms who insist that smoking marijuana makes them better wives and better parents. Mom defended her stance, saying that she detests being judged for doing something non-toxic and totally organic, enjoying a God-given plant. And interestingly enough, they all earn a living from selling marijuana. So they are keeping everything in a line, aren't they? Then there was a CNN piece. I'll just give you the title. Monogamy is unnatural. Monogamy is unnatural. In other words, you can't be faithful. You go, okay. So I didn't even go any further. I was done. My work was done. Here's the messages I see just in a casual perusal. If you choose to look at this, and it's all as if some expert was telling you this, okay? They weren't experts. They're just people who had some time and were given an opportunity to put something up. But think about it. That may sound like I made it up. I didn't. But you are online every day. You watch the news. You read a newspaper. You read a book. You go to school and get an education, and where's that wisdom coming from? You watch TV, you watch a program, a commercial, you see a billboard, you listen to music, you hang out with particular people, you hear what they're thinking. Now compare that with the time that you spend in the Word of God. And there you have it. You literally, when you think of that waterfall of stuff that's coming in from the world, you as a disciple need to make a conscious decision of what you're going to put in and keep out. Amen. If you don't, what's winning? Worldliness. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And we'll look at verses 17 through 30. We're going to spend a little time here in 1 Corinthians, but very quickly, because in 1 Corinthians, Paul's having to address worldliness that's in the church. And he spends a lot of time talking about how these attitudes have impacted disciples. In fact, every verse that we've read isn't talking to someone who is not a disciple. They're talking to disciples. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption.
Amen.
Reflect on these things. This is deep. What is happening here is contrasting the wisdom of this age. And it hasn't changed. The focus on material, earthly things has never changed. It's always stuff. And how to get stuff. And how to keep stuff. How to please oneself. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 16. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Amen. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
You see, we were given the Spirit when we became disciples. The Spirit and us being as spiritual beings can discern spiritual things. The wisdom of God comes through His Word and it teaches us how we are to live and to please Him.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 19 through 20, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile." Brothers and sisters, listen to the Word of God. It's time to focus on what real wisdom is. How are you making your decisions? Are you using the wisdom of the world? Are you using the wisdom of God? What is driving your decisions and your actions? Take time to consider where you are. Look at those lists between what is worldly values and spiritual thinking and see where you're living. If you see that you are worldly in your thinking, change your thinking. If you see you're spiritual and you're thinking, amen, keep it up. But again, if you're worldly in your thinking, change your mind.
Amen.
It's time to repent.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us truly understand your will in our lives. Help us to drive out the forces that want to confuse us, how the devil wants to have us fulfill his desires in our lives, how he tricks us with worldly wisdom and values. Father, help us to be very clear in our understanding of the influence of this world on our thinking. Help us to drive those things out. Father, help us to be able to take your word and study it and understand it and apply it in our lives. And wherever there is something that needs to change, Father, help us to do so. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
It's time to get your kits.